Now, I know you've all come to hear Pastor Daniel Scott, not me, but before I do pass over to Daniel, I really just want to put tonight's meeting in context. Why is it that we have organized this event? Why is it that so many of you have come here? And why have we got Daniel Scott here to tell us about what happened to him in Australia? Well, the reason, as Humphrey has said, is that our government wants to create an incitement to religious hatred offence for England and Wales. Now, the Christian Institute, amongst other things, has been campaigning for religious liberty for 15 years. And we've been involved in legislation at European level, at Westminster, at local council level. We've also been involved with helping individual Christians who've been persecuted because of their Christian faith here in the UK. But in all those 15 years, we have to say, this proposal by our government for an incitement to religious hatred offence is the most serious threat to gospel freedom that we have ever seen. Now, the government's proposed law is contained in the Racial and Religious Hatred Bill. This is the government's third attempt to get this legislation through Parliament. On two previous occasions, it has failed because of criticism of this offence. But this third attempt has passed the House of Commons, and it now goes to the House of Lords, where the government expects another rocky ride. The bill is set to have its first debate in the House of Lords on the 11th of October. And we understand and we believe that there is a good prospect of the Lords rejecting the proposal as it is currently drafted. Now, if that happens, if the Lords reject it as the government has proposed it, then the bill must go back to the House of Commons, because the Commons and the Lords must agree. And then there is likely to be some ping-ponging between the Commons and the Lords until one of them backs down. Now, if that happens, MPs will have to vote on this bill again. So even though this legislation has passed through the House of Commons, we expect MPs to have to vote on this again, probably towards the back end of this year. And I'll be saying more about that later this evening, because that is where you come in. Now, the government's proposals have attracted widespread criticism. It's not just the Christian Institute who are concerned about this, but many journalists, actors, comedians, religious groups, and secular groups oppose these plans, because they view these plans as something of an unguided missile, and no one's quite sure who it's going to land on first. Now, of course, Christians oppose hatred. Hating people is wrong. And Jesus warned that we must love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. But in our politically correct age, the legal definition of hatred is likely to be far removed from our Christian understanding of hatred. It is not hating a person to tell them they need a saviour. It is loving them. It's not hating someone to say that their beliefs are wrong if their beliefs are wrong. Now, people were insulted when our Lord Jesus Christ told them that their beliefs and their practices were wrong. And if they believe that Jesus was insulting them, then they will believe that we're insulting them if we follow the commands of Christ. That is the nature of religious discourse. Holding religious beliefs necessarily involves believing that other religious beliefs are not right. Now, Jesus was clear. We must preach the gospel. It's not an option for Christians. It's not something we opt into. It's something we are commanded to do as Christians. And in doing so, people can and do disagree with us all the time. We took a taxi ride here from the city centre this evening, and Daniel Scott tried to preach the gospel to the cab driver. He was very polite, but I think he was a little bit offended too. But this is the nature of religious discourse. People will disagree with us. Now, Jesus Christ was the most loving, most holy person who ever lived. and yet people disagreed with him and were insulted by him, so much so that the religious authorities put him to death on a cross, the death of a common criminal. And if they will do that to the most holy, loving man who ever lived, well, then they will surely be insulted by us as well. And as I say, it is not just Christians who are concerned about this offence. There are many secular groups and gay rights groups who want the liberty to criticise Christianity. And so they are worried about this offence. Now, the Christian Institute has had the delightful experience of standing shoulder to shoulder with the kind of people who usually oppose everything we stand for. But what this shows is that many people are genuinely concerned about this offence. But it's not just the possibility of prosecutions that concerns us. It's the general effect that the very existence of such a law will have. People will feel that because this law exists, they cannot make claims about the uniqueness of their own religion. People will feel that they cannot evangelize as forcefully as they once did. And people will feel that they cannot criticize religion or irreligion. And people will start to self-censor themselves. People will start to change the words they use. People will start to water things down. And this is what we call the chilling effect. This law will have a chilling effect on freedom of speech, quite apart from prosecutions. Now, these days, our weather forecasters don't just tell us the temperature, but they give us the wind chill factor as well, because when the wind blows, it feels that much colder. Well, this law could be like a hurricane, and it could blow a very strong wind, and the wind chill factor could go into minus numbers. Now, the government has been very optimistic about the temperature, but we're not so sure. We think it could be very cold indeed. That's the importance of tonight's issue.